Now, I want to say that I appreciate the offering that came in tonight. I noticed Jim received an offering and the people responded, and I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful for those that have come out tonight to be with us and those that have come from Little Bethlehem. And I appreciate every one of you coming out to be with us on this first night of the tent meeting. And I hope that every night that you'll come out to be with us. The Lord has blessed us. We'll have to scratch around a little bit for some more parking area. They said they didn't hardly have any more room to park the cars. But the Lord will bless us and help us. And if you'll come out and be with us in the day or two that we're here, whatever we're here, we'll have a grand and glorious time together in the Spirit of God. But I want you to come from night to night, keeping your mind right on God, because this thing is a very serious thing with me. I spend my entire life with Jesus. That's the only life I have, is with Jesus. Many years ago, I cut my life off from the world and all the ambitions of the world, and I turned my life toward Jesus. When I began to realize that things was in the condition that they are, I suddenly realized that there was nothing left except to seek God, and I began to turn toward the Lord Jesus. And since that time, I have spent my life in meditation and study and in prayer and searching for the things of God. Now, I know of a man in the New Testament by the name of Paul the Apostle, a real zealous man, had a lot of ambition in life, and was a fellow that could really have succeeded in life and done great things in life. But one day, God spoke to his heart, and he began to realize the need of salvation and the need for being acquainted with God. And once he got acquainted with God and he began to see the great things of God, he lost all interest in all of the other things of life. And we find out that from that time on, Paul gave all of his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guess that's the way it is with me. Since the time that Jesus came into my heart, and I learned about Jesus, I just haven't had any ambition or desire for the things of this world anymore. They just seem to me as nothing, and as Solomon said, they're all vanity and vexation of the spirit. Man's life is like a shuttle. It's swifter than a shuttle. It just appears for a little time like a vapor, and then it passes away. So then whatever we do for Jesus is a lasting treasure. But whatever we do aside from Jesus is vanity and will soon perish and soon pass away. All right, so it's wonderful to be here tonight. It's good to have a chance to share my enthusiasm with you. And I say this so often, when God anointed Jehu King back there, he jumped in his chariot and he started off at a high pace of speed and said, "Come and see my zeal for God." So then I invite you to come and see my zeal for God as we try to reach out around the world to do something for the Lord Jesus and for the people of God. Come and share my enthusiasm and see my zeal for God. Appreciate having Brother Hollis here with us. He's been missing for a while. But here he is. He's back. He's from Humboldt, Tennessee. And we've got a number of people here tonight from Humboldt, Tennessee. People from different parts of the state here. But we thank the Lord for every one of them. We've got the people here from Texas and Illinois and all around, and we appreciate the people being here with us. Like the song says, you know, they'll come from the east and they'll come from the west, and so they're doing it. They're coming from the east and the west. I want to talk with you just a little while, and I want you to listen. You know, the Bible tells us to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Is that right? Give the more earnest heed to the things that ye have heard, lest at any time ye should let them slip. And then the Bible tells us to take heed how that we hear. Not only should we give the more earnest heed to what we hear, but we should take heed how that we hear. Because if we don't listen real close, then Satan, who is the prince of the powers of the air, he'll come right in and he'll distort our minds. And he'll make it sound as though we heard something one way when God was trying to tell us another way that was altogether different. All right. How do you believe the devil's here tonight? Let me see your hand. Sure he is. The Bible said when the sons of God came, disinterest came also. That's his name. You ever heard of that one? Disinterest came also because Satan is not interested in the things of God. See, the carnal mind can't know the things of God. He can't understand the things of God. And so the spirit of disinterest comes. It's in human bodies. And certain human beings come to church for one purpose. Satan sends them to church because the Bible tells us when the sons of God come to present themselves before God, Satan comes also. And Satan lives in a human body just like God lives in a human body. And so wherever the sons of God gather together, Satan also comes to spy out their liberties. The Bible said these are spots and blemishes in our feast of charity. But, you know, it's wonderful to know that in spite of all of this, that God has some people that's interested in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now you say, Brother Pike, why should I be interested in the gospel? One of the reasons is because there's no other way to continue to live. How do you like to live? There's no other way to escape the graveyard or the funeral home except to hear the word and believe on the word Jesus Christ. Now, to me, that's sufficient within itself to make me know that I should listen to the Word of God and have an interest. That alone does it. But now, if there would be any other reason, I could name many of them, because being a Christian and listening to the Word of God and obeying the Word of God, it causes God to smile on you in this life and gives you blessings ranging from spiritual blessings to financial blessings. And so then, in everything, it pays us, it behooves us, to be interested in God's eternal Word. So then tonight, I invite you to hear the Word of God and to pay close attention to what we say from night to night. If you come here, whether we have a large crowd or whether we have a small crowd, I'd like for you to come. I believe we're going to have good crowds. We've got a good crowd tonight. And I'd like for you to come and like for you to have an interest and a part in what we're doing here in the Carolinas for the sake of the kingdom of God. Now, I could say a lot of things tonight, but you wouldn't be able to stay and listen at them all. It would take me all night long just to tell you a few things that we need to know about the kingdom of God and why that we are here in the Carolinas at this particular time. Now, the average individual would tell us right off, they'd say, Brother Pike, you must be out of your mind setting a tent in this kind of weather. But I think it's fine, don't you? People go out to the football games in this kind of weather and a lot worse. And they take their blankets and wrap up. If the world can do that, why can't we do it for Jesus? So then there's nothing wrong with us being here for the Lord Jesus Christ. And besides that, it's just nice weather to me anyway. If it was any hotter, I don't know what to do because I'm already sweating up here now. So I think this is just good enough to keep the mosquitoes away, and I don't like mosquitoes. So I'm glad to be here tonight, and I'm certainly glad that you had enough enthusiasm to come out and share with us some things concerning the Lord Jesus. I know that you're a wonderful bunch of people. I can tell that, a glorious group of people that we've got here tonight. You've listened real attentively, and all that Brother Taylor and the others have said, and I'm sure that you'll listen to the Word of God, having listened the way you did in the preliminary part of the service. Now, I want to read just a little bit, and I don't know just exactly where I'll go with the scriptures, but I'd like to talk with you anyway. Chapter 6 of the second book of Kings, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with us. The book of Kings, this is the records that the kings of old kept. Back there in the Old Testament, they had what they call the Chronicles of the Kings, and we have two parts of the Bible that gives us some understanding of what the kings did in the time that God had them on the throne. And that is in the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles, being one and the same in that the Chronicles is the chronological order of the things concerning the book of Kings. They tell us one and the same things concerning the activities of the kings of old that was there in the days of Elijah and Elisha and some of the others. Reading from chapter 6, beginning at the first verse, "And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servant. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was failing a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he shewed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Now, we don't have a sacred desk here in front of us, which I like a little bit better myself. It gives me room to move around. I see Brother David Allen and the family back there. We appreciate David coming up from Charlotte. David has been trying to serve the God that I serve for many years. And he and I had a lot of fellowship together. We have the same God, and we have the same outlook toward that God. We believe that you ought to live holy and serve Him with all your heart. Comes up from Charlotte. He's a wonderful brother. Appreciate him. He also helped in the advertisement of this meeting. I didn't know that he was going to do it, but he did. He took money out of his pocket and paid the bill to help advertise this meeting over television through Charlotte. So we'll probably be having more people coming up from Charlotte as the meeting continues on. So, David, we appreciate so much you being here with us. Would you stand up, Brother David? Brother David Allen here and his wife right here that's with him, Sister Elwin, and his little son over here that's with him. We appreciate him so very much being with us. Also, the little daughter sitting back there. Sister Elwin helps us a lot in the ministry, and a lot of times she takes sermons off of tapes, and those sermons go into print and go into book form. Now, we're able at this time to reach a lot of people. We've sent off in the last few weeks, we've sent off over 100,000 Harvester Heralds that went into 100,000 different homes, and they've just about got another 50,000 ready to go. And God is helping us to reach out and do something for the kingdom of God. And as I said earlier, I want to invite you to help us. I want you to take a part in what we're doing. Come down to Little Bethlehem and visit with us. And if you can't come down there, well, when we're in tent meeting or wherever we're at, we'd like for you to come over and visit with us and take part in whatever we're doing. If you can't do that, well, we'd like for you to pray for us. If you don't do anything but pray for us, we'd like for you to do that. But we want you to have a part in what we're doing for God, because we'd like to be friends with you and be brothers in the gospel. Now, I notice here that the statement concerning Elisha was, Elisha, let us go to another place, because the place where you're at is too straight for us. Now, there's a lot of ways to look at that. You know, when you speak about a straight jacket, that's a tight fit. And I'm sure that what they meant there was just a little bit tight with all of them in the same place. And they decided they needed a place for the sons of the prophets. But I like the thought tonight, you know, the world can't come out and really get in with the children of God, because the place where the children of God dwell is too straight for them. How do you believe that's true? See, it's too straight for them. The place where the children of God dwells is too straight for the world. It requires praying. It requires fasting. It requires giving a little bit of your time. It requires swearing to your own hurt. And it takes a little bit of the time that you would ordinarily put in the world out there. And so then it's just too straight for the world, and they just can't dwell with the children of God. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, this place ain't too straight for me. I like this place called holiness. I like this way of holiness that God speaks of. It's not too straight for me. I like a clean, holy, upright life. I like turning loose from those things out there that Satan has got laid there as a snare to take your soul from him. I like getting away from those things. I like being in holiness and staying clear of those things of the world, because I know the devil is out there to cause us problems. Is that right? But if I shy away from those things and I walk in holiness, the devil ain't going to mess around with me. Did you know the devil won't fellowship you if you fellowship holiness? Did you know that people will do anything to get around holiness? Did you know that's true? The people that are in the churches of today, they'll do anything to get away from holiness. Why do they do that to get away from holiness? Because they don't understand that the only source of eternal life is holiness. There is no other eternal life.
There is no other means of entering into eternal life except through holiness. That's why I love holiness the way I do. Now, I've said this a lot of times. They make a great mistake when they call the Pope of Rome His Holiness, because the Pope of Rome is not His Holiness, but Jesus Christ is His Holiness. And the Bible teaches God is the Spirit of Holiness. And Paul said, God, whom I serve with my Spirit. God, the Spirit of Holiness. Hallelujah. I believe Sister Joni right here, her dad, I believe it's her dad that's got an audience with the Pope, isn't it right? I believe he's having an audience with the Pope pretty soon. He's over the steel industries out in California, and he's having an audience with the Pope. We talked to him not too long ago. He's a real wonderful person. And I thought when they was telling me about that, there's something outstanding about that. Because he's at the head of the steel industry, and when he came down to little Bethlehem, we spoke about the allegoric purpose of his life and what it had to do with. Have you remember that? The allegoric purpose of his life. What was it? We spoke of it having to do with the ruling with the rod of iron. It's fitting that at the time of this meeting that he should be caught up to the throne. Is that right? A lot of little foolish things that we overlook, that God doesn't overlook. A lot of things that seem to have no significance to us has great spiritual significance to God. And so then at this time, it has a great meaning. The foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. God revealing Himself in simplicity that we might understand, in that He said He's revealed it unto babes. Hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. Made it revelation unto babes such as would learn. Hallelujah. My heart, my spirit feeds all the time. It feeds off of the things of God constantly. God is revealing to me and talking to me and telling me what He's doing in the earth. And through the foolish, frivolous things of the world would term it, I see great, outstanding mysteries unveil themselves. You love Jesus? Somebody say hallelujah. All right. Now, the place was too straight. I want to talk on holiness just a little bit. And if you get hungry, we might drop in a little revelation. Appreciate our brother from Marysville, Tennessee, sitting here on the front row. He and his wife, I just noticed him. First time I've noticed him. Appreciate him coming down from Marysville, Tennessee. All right, now, why, Brother Pike, are you so interested in holiness? Why is it in all of your meetings, all of your writings, you're always talking about holiness? Why is it that you choose to put holiness unto the Lord on everything that you do? Because the Bible tells us that out yonder in the millennium, that even the pots and the pans are going to have holiness unto the Lord. You ever thought about that? Did you know people that really love God, real Holy Ghost-filled people, they're not going to fill out a place in the millennium, because holiness is going to be everywhere. Holiness is going to be on the horse's bridle. Holiness is going to be on the pots and pans. But those people that don't believe in holiness, those people that don't care for holiness, those people are going to be out of place, because everything out there is going to be holy. Going to be holy. The Bible said, be holy for I'm holy. And so then, God is the Spirit of holiness. I want eternal life, don't you? I can't join the church and get eternal life. There's no way that you can join the church and get eternal life just because your name's on a church roll. That doesn't mean that you have eternal life. Because you've given the offering or you support some missionary, that doesn't mean that you've got eternal life. Because you belong to some church that mother and daddy have belonged to all of their life, that doesn't mean that you've got eternal life. Because you belong to a Pentecostal church, that doesn't mean that you've got eternal life. You might belong to a church that you call a holiness church, but that doesn't mean that you've got eternal life. Friend, what we've got to do is produce holiness in our lives. The Bible says that we have our fruits unto holiness. We have our fruits unto holiness. Not unto church membership, not unto seeing how many people we can get together, but we have our fruits unto holiness. And the Bible tells us that we are to perfect holiness unto God in our lives. We are to lay aside everything that's unlike holiness. Why do I want holiness in my life? Because that's the only means of continuing to live forever. If I get holiness in my life, then I can live forever. But if I don't have holiness, I can't live forever. So then I want holiness in my life. I want to become a holy person. I want to walk circumspectively. I want to be clean and holy in my thinking. I don't want to just testify of holiness, but I want holiness in my life. I want my thoughts to be holy. I want the words that I speak to be holy. I want every place that I go to be holy, or to be holy in the presence of those people wherever I go. It's going to take old-time Holy Ghost God living to get us into heaven. And that's what I want to do. I want to be holy. I want to be clean and upright. I want to put away the filth of the flesh. The Bible said, put away the filth of the flesh, perfecting holiness unto the Lord. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And so then I want to be holy. I want to be clean. Why? Because there is a spirit, and that spirit is called the spirit of holiness. What is that spirit? It is life. It is the fountain of life. It is the overflowing fountain of life. If I can lay hold on holiness, the spirit of holiness, I am drinking from the eternal fountain of the living God. I can support ministries. I can favor ministers. I can say what I want to and do what I want to and act religious as I want to. But that still doesn't assure me of having eternal life. But brother, when I begin to get holy, the Bible speaks of certain things, and Peter tells us that if you can do these things, you shall never fall. If you've got virtue, if you've got faith, if you've got patience, if you've got godliness, he said if we can do these things, we'd never fall. If we've got brotherly love, we would do these things, we'll never fall. Isn't that right? What we need is holiness in our lives. Hallelujah. When we get holiness in our lives, then we're ready to do a job for God. But let me tell you something, folks. We can't do a job for God unless we get holiness in our life. That's the trouble with the church today. People are trying to preach when they're not holy. They're not living holy. They haven't been born and filled with the Holy Ghost. See, they're trying to do something for God. They're testifying that they're Christians and never having been filled with the Holy Ghost. But what we need is the Holy Ghost. Have you noticed at this midnight hour, at this dark hour, the world is beginning to wake up. The churches are beginning to wake up. You say, Brother Pike, do you really believe they're waking up? The Bible said at the midnight cry they woke up. At the midnight cry that they all awoke from their deep sleep. They're waking up. Look at your charismatic aura. Look at the charismatic move that's going on. What is the charismatic move? It's the foolish virgins that's getting up. They're beginning to wake up. They're beginning to realize that this Holy Ghost that we speak of belongs to the church. And they're wanting to be part of the church. And the charismatic orders are beginning to stir themselves. And the Methodists and the Baptists and the Presbyterian and the Pentecostal churches all alike are beginning to come together to try to bring about a rally of the Holy Ghost revival that one time filled the earth. But I want you to know something. They've waited too long. They've waited too long. Amen. The charismatic order that's got up, that's beginning to move through the land, it seems like a great revival. They're taking a lot of money and putting a lot of money into it. Rich men, great rich men are putting thousands of dollars into it. But they've waited too late. They've got up just at the right time for God to remind them that they are without the oil. Just jumping up and speaking in tongues don't mean you've got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I said just jumping up speaking in tongues, that don't mean nothing. That don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. The rain come down upon the just and upon the unjust. There's thousands of Pentecostal people that shouted and hollered and leaped and jumped, but they're still in hell tonight. So then it takes more than that. Putting your name on a church book, that isn't going to get the job done. But I'll tell you what, when we get acquainted with the Holy Ghost, when we meet that walking, talking, living Holy Ghost, when we feel the presence of that great eternal Spirit, hallelujah, that Christ promised would come back into our hearts if we walk upright, then we know that we're getting somewhere. Hallelujah. I come out here under the tent just for a little bit this morning. I walked over here and they were putting up the post, and I felt the Holy Ghost. The Bible said while that Peter preached to them, the Holy Ghost fell on them. You know, if we keep talking about the Holy Ghost and preaching about the Holy Ghost, after a while we're going to feel the Holy Ghost fall on us. I've been preaching under the tent, you know, in different places, and after a while God would break that old yoke and the Holy Ghost would come down and fall on the people. And the Bible said while Peter ministered to him, the Holy Ghost fell on him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. The Holy Ghost fell on him. Hallelujah. I'd like to see the Holy Ghost fall, wouldn't you? I was over there today and the Holy Ghost came down on me. And I felt him as he began to run all through my body, all over my body. I felt that same quickening Spirit that raised that Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. The Bible said, if the Spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, he shall by the Spirit quicken your mortal body, by the Spirit that dwelleth within him. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, everybody don't have the Holy Ghost. Everybody don't have faith either. How do you know that? Everybody don't have this kind of faith I'm talking about. I'm talking about God's faith. The Bible said, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. Everybody don't have this kind of faith. I know God's dealt unto every man a measure of faith when it comes to a faith. But I'm talking about Christ's faith. The Bible said, the faith by which you're sanctified. Everybody don't have this kind of faith. I'm talking about something that you have to contend for. You understand what I'm saying, folks? I'm talking about something you've got to put forth an effort for. It isn't just given to you, as the world says, on a silver platter. But you've got to do something about it. You've got to contend for this faith. You've got to pray a little, fast a little, call on the name of Jesus a little bit. Hallelujah. I'm talking about being a real soldier of God. Being a real, genuine soldier of God. You know what we need? We need an environment like Adam's. Isn't that right? If we had an environment like Adam had over in the Garden of Eden, we'd really be getting along all right. That's what we need. And we need the confidence of Enoch. Enoch had such a confidence, he walked with God for a few hundred years, and the Bible said he was not, for God took him. Hallelujah. And we need the perseverance of Noah that can stay with it, hallelujah, until a job gets done. Is that right? That's what we need. We need the faith of Abraham. If God would give us the faith of Abraham, then we'd be getting in good shape. Is that right? If we had the favor that Joseph had with God, then we'd be able to do something for God. Hallelujah. And had the ability of Moses. If God would give us the same ability that Moses had, we could walk with God. The Bible said he was faithful in all of his house. Hallelujah. That's what we need. If God would give us the power of Joshua and the courage of David and the wisdom of Solomon, we'd be ready to do a work for God. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. I say, Jesus, give me the skill of Daniel and the strength of Samson. Hallelujah. Give me the skill of Daniel. Give me the strength of Samson. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me the concern old Jeremiah had when he wept and the tears flowed down his cheeks. Somebody say hallelujah. Give me that kind of concern. Give me the loyalty that Ruth had. Hallelujah. When she walked with the Savior and stayed with Naomi and forsook the land of a kindred. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. Give me the zeal of old Nehemiah. Hallelujah. When he went and built the walls back and capstoned with the Spirit and the perfection of Jesus Christ unto salvation, and to it the revelation of Paul, and then the love of St. John the Divine. Hallelujah. And then we'll be ready for service. Can you say hallelujah? I'm talking about holiness. Old time Holy Ghost living. I'm talking about living like Christ. Walking in the light. You know, the Bible teaches to walk in the light as he is in the light, will have fellowship one with another. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, I know this is the first night of the revival. But you know, it could be one of the best nights of the revival. You know, we kind of got the feeling we have to prime things. We come together and we say, well, this is the first night. We don't do much tonight. We do something maybe two or three nights from now.
But I'm glad Jesus is here and He does something every night. Hallelujah! I'm glad Christ is here tonight. And I can feel His presence tonight. Hallelujah! Glory to God, I can feel Him right now. Feel Him right now. Somebody said it's all over me and it's keeping me alive. Hallelujah. So then that's why I preach holiness. I believe we've got to live holy. I believe we've got to be clean, folks. I believe we've got to apply the blood to our heart. We've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And we've got to come up in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we've got to walk circumspectly to let our light so shine that the world might see our light, that they might glorify our Father in heaven. Let the world see our good works. Hallelujah. Have you got good works tonight? The Bible said God has predestinated us unto good works. Hallelujah. That's the kind of predestination I believe in. I believe in the kind of predestination that we're predestinated unto good works. Hallelujah. What kind of predestination do you believe in? But you know, I'd like for you to know on the first night of this meeting that the greatest revelation you'll ever get is that God is the Spirit of holiness. If you fail to get that Spirit and conform to that Spirit, you'll never make it into the kingdom of the living God. But if I can get it over to you that God is the Holy Spirit, that He is the only Holy Spirit, and that one word spoken against that Holy Spirit, that it will never be forgiven in this world nor the world to come. He is so holy that if you speak just one word against that Holy Spirit, just one word against that Holy Spirit, you'll never be forgiven in this world or in the world to come if you just speak one word against that Holy Spirit. That's how holy God is. He is so holy that He won't allow you to speak one word against that Holy Spirit. Not one word. You know, it would pay us to really get straight, folks. The Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Is that right? David said, Father, let me go a little bit further than that. He said, forgive me for the intents of my heart, O God. Whatever my heart might have intended, whatever a motive might have came forth in my heart, he said, Father, forgive me for it. If it wasn't in harmony with your word, if it wasn't according to godliness, then God forgive me for it. He said, because I didn't mean to do it. That's being holy. Do you feel holy tonight? Do you feel holy tonight? You're going to have to be holy if you live there with him. That's going to be a holy place. Heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace. Hallelujah. If you ever get there, you're going to have to be holy. The Bible said in the latter times, there won't be just a few of God's people be left. It said, but those that be few, said, even so few, a child shall number them. But said, they that are left in Zion shall be called holy. They shall say, holy. Hallelujah. They'll say, them's holy people. Them's holy people yonder. Glory to God. Them people are holy. Them people are holy. Them people are holy. I made this statement a number of times while we was over in Jerusalem here a year or so ago. There, our guide David, as he began to lead us to that country over there, one day he just stood there and he broke down in tears and the tears started running down his cheeks. And he said, Brother Pike, he said, I've never seen people like your people. He said, your people are holy people. Your people are holy people in Jerusalem, where people are supposed to be the apple of God's eye. But this man looked at people from little Bethlehem and said, I've never seen people like them. Said, them are holy people. Don't that make you feel good? Don't that make you feel good? The Bible said, let another's lips praise you. We didn't say it. Their lips is the one that praised us. I like that, don't you? Now, I think you'll agree with me that the world situation is bad. Everything is looking real bad. As I said a little bit earlier, we've never had a communist flag in America. Never had there at the White House. They've never lifted up a communist flag before. Never have they done that. But just a few days ago, they hoisted the communist flag. And up she went in Washington. And some of the dignitaries stood there and lifted their eyes and praised. Opened their lips and praised to the communist flag. There it went. You say, Brother Pike, what does that mean to you? I believe that we are living in what we refer to as the days of the ten toes. I believe that this is the days of the ten toes. The Bible speaks of the image over there in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold that came on down from kingdom to kingdom, that in the latter times it would be called the ten toes. The last part of that image that was to be made manifest was 10 different kingdoms. There was a kingdom of a head of a gold, and it came on down through the ages to a lesser value, showing a kingdom that was not as great as the former kingdom, until finally it got down to one that was just plain iron and clay. And it called it the kingdom of the 10 toes. And it said that this iron and this clay tried to mix and tried to get together. But it said that iron and clay won't mix. Is that right? I remember when Eisenhower came on the scene, they said his name meant iron. And Khrushchev's name meant clay. I remember that. Communist, it means clay. In America, that means iron. That is the Catholic part of it. Trying to get together. Jimmy Carter trying to mix together with a communist leader. That's never going to go. You say, why is it, Brother Pot? Because Catholic people believe in religion. Communist people don't believe in religion. That's right. America is a religious nation. She's a religious nation. And she believes in religion. She may not live right, but she still believes in religion. Isn't that right? The Methodist, the Baptist, the Presbyterian, every kind of religion that you can mention, that's religious America. But communists don't believe in religion. They don't believe in religion. And here they are trying to get together. What are they trying to do? They're trying to bring about a world peace. They're trying to bring into a unit all nations to a word that they can bring about a world peace. But the Bible tells us that when they cry peace, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. When they cry peace, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. Now then, in the Old Testament, it speaks about Jezebel and Ahab. It speaks about Jezebel and Ahab, and it speaks about a prophet named Elijah. And in that day, Jezebel and Ahab wanted to rule the entire kingdom. But they had a little problem. Old brother Naboth had a vineyard. And the little vineyard was an inheritance from his fathers. And Jezebel couldn't talk him out of it. And it troubled her. And Ahab wanted it so bad, but he couldn't get it. See, that's the way it is with the Jews. Now, America might take over Russia, and they might take over Germany, and they might take over different parts of the world. But let me tell you, neighbor, when they start trying to take Jerusalem, they've hit a stump. When they start trying to take over Jerusalem, they've hit a stump. Those people love Jerusalem. You just have to go there to see. They give their lives for it. I saw the young soldiers that didn't look like they were over 15 or 16 years old walking around with a gun on their shoulders. And you could tell that their spirits were just as hard as nails as far as giving one inch as they walked around and watched the people coming in and out of their country. They want Jerusalem. That city belongs to them. And they'll give up anything they got before they'll give up that city. They're not going to give up Jerusalem. And they'll tell you they're not. I walked over to one of those young soldiers and I said, look at here. I said, I can tell you something that'll really help you. I said, I can point you to somebody that's a real friend. He patted that gun and he said, this is my friend. He said, I've been through two or three wars. And said, he's took me through every one of them. Said, it's a real friend. Said, I'm sticking with it. That's the way they feel. And just recently, the paper stated that Jimmy Carter was forcing Israel to war. Israel said, Carter, you are forcing us to war. Said the decision that you make, that you are forcing us to war. Now, I know that Jimmy backtracked, stood up and made the statement that he'd rather commit political suicide than to sin against the Jews. And I'll tell you what, he'd better take that attitude. That's the only sensible attitude that you could take. The Bible tells us if we touch Israel, we touch the apple of God's eye. And he said, I'll bless whoever blesses Israel, and I'll curse whoever curses Israel. When Germany touched Israel, God cursed them. Every nation that's ever touched Israel, God cursed them and they fell. And brother, if America turns her back on Israel, she's gone because God will curse her. Whoever blesses Jacob will be blessed. Whoever blesses Israel will be blessed. Whoever curses Israel will be cursed. So then that means that we're going to have to stick with Israel. If we're going to make it through this thing, we're going to have to stick with Israel. If we don't stick with Israel, we're not going to be able to make it. And I want to tell you something. The communists will never stick with Israel. You remember what I'm telling you? Communists will never stick with Israel. Communists is greedy.
They're greedy of gain. And the Bible said, in that day an evil thought shall come into the mind of Gog and Magog, which is Russia. That's communist. An evil thought will come into the mind. What will they say? Let us go up to the city with unfenced walls and take for ourselves a spoil. Who is the city that has unfenced walls? Israel has been laying there for many years without any protection. She's just now beginning to rally to protection to take care of a country and a homeland. And they'll say, let us go up and take for ourselves a spoil. Did you know that thought has already entered into the mind of Russia? And they've already tried through the Arabs to get in there and take away the things that Israel's got. They've already planned their conniving way to get in there and take the things that Israel's got. Let me tell you something. I made the statement here a while back that Billy Graham was slipping. I might lose some of the audience over this. Sometimes I do. But I made the statement he was slipping because he's not standing up for God and for holiness like he ought to. Amen. He made the statement the other day. The papers carried it, said he believed that he'd meet Elvis Presley in heaven. I'll tell you what. I got news for you. If you go where Elvis Presley's at, you're not going to be in heaven. Now you can say amen or oh me, but Elvis Presley went to hell. The Bible said a child's known by his doings, and his doings was evil. You say, but he cried and repented. The Bible said Esau sought repentance with bitter tears, but he didn't find any place of repentance. And Billy made the statement that I'll see Elvis in heaven. He'll never see Elvis in heaven. He might see Elvis in hell. Somebody said, you don't know, Brother Pike. You don't have a right to judge. But the Bible tells me I do have a right to judge. The Bible said, righteous judgment. You know what righteous judgment is? The Word of God. You know what the Word of God says? It says a child's known by his doings. You know what kind of doings Elvis Presley had? He wiggled like a snake and wrecked the world with his evil doings. Robbed the girls of the virtue and the men's of the virtues throughout the entire world. Corrupted the earth and God killed him. Amen. Somebody say, oh me, or shut up. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Billy Graham said, I'll see Elvis in heaven. Let me tell you something. Listen to me just a few minutes. That same Billy Graham that said, I'll see Elvis in heaven, the paper stated just a few days ago that same Billy Graham made the statement that he had changed his mind about communists. And I told him here a while back, I said, watch Billy and watch what happens. Did you notice immediately after Billy accepted it? Did you notice that Jimmy accepted it? Did you notice immediately after the piece was published in the paper with Billy saying that? That immediately Jimmy Carter let him into the White House up there. Now we've got a representative of communists in the White House. You say, what do you think, Brother Pike? I'll tell you what I think. You go back and check it and see. You show me one place, just one, that's all, where communists ever took over, that blood didn't run in the streets, and there wasn't sorrow and wasn't heartaches and wasn't woes. Show me one place where communists ever came anywhere in the world that it didn't happen. Can you do that? Can you do that? Show me just one place. There's not one place. But what the blood didn't run. Amen. And some of you, your blood's going to run like me, sucking cigarettes, sucking weeds. Your blood will run. Defying God. You defy the Almighty God and God will slay you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's God's prophet and he's the Word in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he's humble and sweet. He's God's priest and he's a lamb. But in the millennium, he's a king and he's a roaring lion. Hallelujah. The lion of the tribe of Judah. You love Jesus? Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. When you get a backbone like a saw log and quit acting like a jellyfish, stand up to the evils of the world. Let me tell you something. We're the sons of God. We own this world. Everybody else is a squatter. Everybody else in this world is a squatter. Everyone that's not sons of God that won't heed the message of the Almighty God is squatters. And God will do away with them. Amen. God will do away with them. Like he did Elvis Presley. Hallelujah. You know what? Carter praised Elvis Presley. Talked about him being some great outstanding figure. Some religious person. the governor's praised him. And I appreciate Pat Boone writing me the letter telling me that Little Glass Slipper stirred his heart when he heard our message from tape on Little Glass Slipper. But I'll tell you right now, I don't appreciate what Pat Boone said when he stood up and stood up for Elvis. I don't appreciate Rex Humbart standing up for it. Amen. I believe we've got to call black, black, and white, white. And the Bible said, woe unto that man that calls evil good and good evil. I made the statement when Jimmy Carter done what he did. And they said they was going to make the mansion, Graceland Mansion out there. That they was going to make it a national shrine. Tennessee Ernie Ford said he'd be a fool if he didn't make it a national shrine. Shrine. Amen. As the Bible calls it, the swine. I think it's the most foolish thing he ever done in making it a national shrine. If you notice that Jimmy come from the plains of Dura, and you know Dura's where they built that image? Did you know they're building a $200,000 image to Elvis, and Jimmy is interested in the image? You love Jesus? Hallelujah. I tell you what, I saw some real spiritual revelation in that. I couldn't explain it to some of you tonight because perhaps you're not spiritual. Paul said, I can speak unto you spiritual. But I saw something real spiritual, man. Just a few little foolish things here that confound the wise. I noticed that he was over in Whitehaven, but he went out of Whitehaven. The Bible said Lucifer was cast out, didn't he? Amen. He was under grace, but he went out of Graceland, didn't he? Jim and him held him and lifted him up. Didn't they do that? They lifted him up. What was it? The old serpent. That was why he wiggled like a snake. God throwed him out. Is that right? He done away with him. That's what it was. Amen. The Bible said the wicked shall not live the days half out. 42 years old and down he went. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? They lifted him up and said that he was a saint of God when Elvis Presley himself made the statement out of his own mouth. Said that he sold his soul to the devil to get what he got. Said he asked the devil if he'd give him what he got. Said if you give it to me, he said he would give his soul to the devil, and he did. And when time to collect the dues, the devil came and got him. Come on, folks. I'm talking about truth. I'm not talking about telling a bunch of lies to try to get a bunch of hippies out here to follow around at you. To try to get Elvis's followers just because he had a lot of followers. Anybody that gets up and puts on a sex movie will have a bunch of followers. That old devil that started in the garden back yonder through that evil thing. It's the same thing today. Mix a little music and a little sex together. Smoke a little dope. And you can lead the world. But I'm talking about holiness. Glory to God, old time holiness. Say, boy, you'll get your head busted one day doing that. Somebody had a dream the other day that I got my head busted. Said, look, I could have to do with the Carolinas. This might be the busting place up here. One thing about it, I ain't going to cry until it's busted. I might cry then. I'm going to preach right now. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I can't think of a better thing to get it busted for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, if you get a good stick upside the head, you won't feel so good about it. They hit me hard enough, I won't feel it all. Hallelujah! Glory to God. What a wonderful thing to be a Christian. Things don't look good, folks. Over yonder in Washington, things are blowing apart. And I made the statement, and some of the people of Bethlehem will tell you that I made the statement. I said, because Jimmy Carter done the way he did, and some of the others done the way they did, I said, inasmuch as they did that, that God's going to reject the whole bunch. I wrote a song the other day. Said because they did what they did, God rejected them all. Maybe they'll sing it here one night. But did you know you can call it coincidental or whatever after that Jimmy Carter took the stand he did for Elvis Presley and the leaders took the stand they did for Elvis Presley, God brought up a communist flag in America. That sounds to me like he rejected them all. Followed the words just like we said. Because they esteemed the wicked great and cast down the righteous and God rejected all of them. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm talking about old time holiness. Praise God, the devil don't like this kind of preaching. Did you know that? Now, you can tickle their ears. The Bible says they'll look for somebody to tickle their ears because they have itchy ears. But I'm talking about the gospel. I'm talking about something that'll do when the world's on fire. Something that'll help you when you press your dying pillow. Don't forget, every one of you is headed for the graveyard unless God doesn't. You might have a new car, and I'm going to close you in just a minute. Just want to exhort you a little bit. You may have a new car. You may have a new home. You may have money in the bank. You may have prestige. And the banker may think more of you than he does me. But if you tarry a little bit and Jesus tarries a little longer, you're going to press your death pillow. And then when you go to press your death pillow, it may react like a Baptist preacher I heard not so long ago. He said he was really preaching all across the land. Said he was doing real well. He said, but all of a sudden he found out he was going to die. He was a young preacher. Said he found out he was going to die. And said the doctor said to him, said, son, said I sure hope you believe in what you're preaching. He wanted to know why. He said, well, he said, it looks like you're going to die. He said, I ain't ready. So he got up from there, and the Lord got him up from there, and he quit preaching. You understand what I mean? I'm talking about something that'll do when you press your death pillow. Hallelujah. This thing I'm talking about, people died in the fire, went into the furnace. They killed them, nailed them to the cross, done all kinds of things to them. But it stood, and this will stand when the world's on fire. I want you to stand with me. There's one thing about it. As I travel to and fro, they might put a stop to me. They tried a number of times with guns and knives and everything else. The Lord's helped me, as Paul said, to survive this long. But he'll keep me until I finish my course. Whenever I finish it, will that be it? But it's one thing about it. I might not never cause a tidal wave, but I'm going to put a ripple in the water. I don't know what might come out of it if it lasts long enough. I love Jesus, and I want to do something for him. And I know that I've got some here that love Jesus too. I'm sure that you love Jesus. I know you want to do something for him. The devil is bold. Did you know that? He's bold as a lion. But Jesus is a lion. Jesus is a lion. Hallelujah. All right, I love you. Appreciate every one of you tonight. Hope you'll come back and be with me. A lot of things I'd like to say. Talk about the world affairs. Talk about the kingdom. And oh, there's so many marvelous things that ear hath not heard, eye hath not seen. Neither has it entered the heart of men at any time. The glorious things that God hath for them that love him. But he hath revealed them to us. He's made it revelation unto babes such as were learned by his Spirit. Abundantly and above all we're able to ask or think. Can't learn it in school, can't learn it in college. It's abundantly and above. But God has made it a revelation. That's why we talk about the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. You love Jesus? I want us to sing a little chorus together. And don't forget the service tomorrow night. We're looking forward to God doing something out here. If you're sick in your body, I'd like to see God heal you. And I believe he will heal you. If you come believing and praying, I believe God will do something for you. We believe in praying for the sick. God's been good to us. And I believe he'll continue to be good to us. And I hope I can continue to do right. I believe I can. Bible said, having done all to stand, then stand. Having your loins girt about with the truth, just stand anyway. When it looks like you can't stand, just do it anyway. Let the weak say, I'm strong. If you feel real weak tonight, you know, some of you may feel weak in your body. I'm sure that some of you do. You go through a battle, a lot of times a cancer may be eating you up on the inside. Maybe your nerve energy is gone. He looks like he can't go another mile. Looks like your mind's going to snap on you. But see, just take this outlook. Just look away to glory. Say by faith in the Word. The Word said it. Let him that's weak say, I'm strong. And just let him lift up his heart and say, hallelujah. Because Jesus said it, I am strong in his Word. Hallelujah. And believe it with all your heart. And something will happen to you. You'll feel the new strength. You'll feel something break open down there you never felt before. And you'll feel like you can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Try it sometimes. Let your faith go out to God. God is a spirit, and God's present here tonight. I feel Him. Let your faith go out to God and say, Lord, I believe in God. Did you know if we don't start praying, if we don't start fasting, if we don't start giving our time to God, if we don't start having a backbone and standing up for the truth, there's not going to be any faith left in the earth. People are going to get in such a cast down condition until there won't be any faith at all left in the earth. Do you know that? It'll get to where there'll be no faith left. But let's kindle that faith. Let's fan the sparks a little bit that God can bring revival to our heart. Let's do something to stir Archdale, North Carolina. Will you do it? Will you do it? Come on, give me a better response than that. Will you do something for God? It may be your last chance to do something for God. This tent could very well be the last chance you'll ever have to do something for God. It might be your funeral after this. This might be the last one. Will you do something for God? Will you do something for God? Will you come to this revival? Will you go out and invite somebody? The Bible said, go out into the highways and hedges to compel them to come in, that the house of God could be filled up. Will you do that? Let's do something for God, folks. Hallelujah. To be like Jesus on earth thy alone. Sing it with me. To be like Him all through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him. From Bethlehem's manger came forth the stranger. Yonder I long to be like Him all through life's journey, from earth to glory. I only ask to be like Him. Don't you love Him tonight? While they're playing on the organ tonight, I just want to take a few minutes, and then I'm going to let you go. You know, Jesus done something for you that nobody else ever done. He spilled the blood that was in His human body. He was a human being just like I'm a human being. One day they took Him and nailed Him to Calvary, and His blood, just like your blood, was spilled. He did that I might live. If Christ had not have done that, I could never have had eternal life. But because He so loved the world, He gave His blood. He spilled His blood that we might live, that we might have the wonderful blessings in the presence of our Lord. And tonight, we have the golden opportunity of calling upon the only name that holds salvation, the name of Jesus Christ, the most lovely name that was ever given among men, the wonderful name of Jesus, the glorious name of Jesus. If it was not for the name of Jesus tonight, all humanity would be damned. All humanity would be put out of the presence of God and would have to be shut off in the consuming flames of the burning indignation of the Almighty God. That's why that I stand for righteousness. That's why I speak boldly without fear or favor. My Lord spilt His blood that righteousness might continue in this world.
But folks, things have gotten into such a condition that our younger generation that's coming on, they don't even know what's right anymore. We hold up rock and roll singers. We hold up crooked politicians. We hold up corrupt preachers. And we try to make our children believe that everything's all right. And that's why they've turned out to be a bunch of hippies, a bunch of beatniks, a bunch of Beatles, a bunch of dope addicts. Because they don't know what's right. They know that what you're telling them's not right. And so they're choosing their own way. They figure it's as good as what you offer to them. And you know what? I think it's a lot better. Jesus said, I would that you are hot or cold. If you're not born of the Spirit, you need to be a dope addict or something. If you're a dope addict, then you know you need the Lord Jesus. If you're some slick-tongued politician, some doctor or some dentist or some teacher, some crooked preacher, you don't know that you've got a need for God and you keep causing trouble in the world. But when you're out there and you know you lost it undone in the hot pins of the world, when you hear the gospel, you'll hear something clean. You'll come to it. You know, as long as the world is cold, real cold, sinful, God will let the world go on. Because if you don't know the gospel, if you don't know the word of God, then God has to wait until you hear and understand. And if you're living for God, if you're spiritually on fire for God, then God will bless the world and bring it into a great millennium and let it go on. Because you know the Lord and you love the Lord. But when you become a religious proselyte and you become a religious person and you don't live holy, but you're still religious and belong to some church, God will spew you out of His mouth and destroy mankind. Because the Bible teaches that anybody that's lukewarm is abomination in the sight of God. And God can't lead them to repentance because they feel like they don't need any repentance. And they're not living right, so He can't bless them. So what's the need of letting the world go on? There's nobody else to save. Everybody's religious. Nobody's cold anymore. What's the need of preaching? They're all a bunch of lukewarm people. Then God said, away with them. There's nothing else I can do. You understand what I'm saying, folks? We're in the most dangerous age we've ever been in the history of all mankind. Never been a day like we're living in. This is a great day for the sons of God because the message of translation is here. But it's also a sad time for those people. They say the way that you dwell or the place that you live is too straight for me. It's called holy. Called holy. We used to sing that song, I've moved off a crooked street over to Glory Avenue. It's a straight street. A holy place. If we don't start telling our children the truth, if we don't get rid of the filthy television movies that we've got set in our home, if we don't get rid of the filthy magazines that we've got laying around, if we don't get rid of the filthy rock and roll records and stop telling them that rock singers is going to heaven, God's going to destroy the whole bunch of us. Do away with all of us and burn the entire world. Now I want you to listen just for a few minutes and I'm going to let you go. Did you know the Bible tells us that the last generation, now I want you to see how close the coming of the Lord is. I want you to judge it for yourself. It tells us that the last generation will be a sinful and an adulterous generation. Isn't that right? The last generation before the coming of the Lord will be a sinful and an adulterous generation. Did you know that you can't be a sinner until you know something about Christianity? And you can be ungodly but not a sinner. That means that the world's got to know something about God to be a sinner. And can you deny that this is the sinful and an adulterous generation? Hundreds of thousands of men and women living together, but they're not married. While we were over in Sweden just a few days ago, we went over to Sweden and had the privilege of going into the land of the midnight sun. While we were there in Sweden, I talked to some of the young men. I said, are you married? They said, well, I live with a girl. I said, but are you married?
They said, but we don't worry about nothing like that. I said, well, God's concerned about it. He said, He is. I said, yes. I said, did you know? He said, well, I love her. She loves me. We live together. I said, but did you know that God can kill your children with death? Did you know that if you're not married in the sight of God with holy wedlock, that a little baby might be born in this world, you might cuddle it and love it, and God may allow death to kill it because He can't protect it in that you're out of the covering of God? And it shook some of them up so that they were ready to get married. But see, the world is sinful. It's adulterous. Women dress in shorts and tights and pedal pushers, walk down the road in form-fitting clothes, and so do men. And they're continually lusting after one another. And Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. And they're committing adultery every day, every minute. Billboards, movies, pictures, magazines, everything is filled with it. A sinful and an adulterous generation. The whole generation adulterous. What is it? It's the coming of the Lord. That's why we're preaching the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you know more about the revelation of Jesus Christ, you'd know that the coming of the Lord was at hand. But see, the world doesn't know. The world says, well, there'll be something happen, something outstanding, some kind of phenomenon. There'll be something great, outstanding will take place, and then we'll know the coming of the Lord is at hand. But the Bible said it would be like a thief in the night. Is that right? It'd be like a thief in the night. You won't know. It'll be like a thief in the night. In the day that you think not, the Son of Man come. Let's sing another chorus. I want to impress that upon you. And while we sing this little chorus, if you're here lost and undone without God, and you want to make peace with God, I know coming to the altar don't make peace with God. The altar's our heart, whether it was in a cotton field or wherever. But coming a lot of times lets us know that we're uniting together in strength to pray for one another, to work for one another. And it's an open testimony that you're willing to sever the ties with the world and step out and be part of the kingdom of God. And you want a declaration so that the world can see it. Will you sing this with me? Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Oh, you'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Oh, He's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch my Lord as He goes by. Oh, you'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Don't you love Him tonight? Don't you love Him? Give me another kiss. Another. Hallelujah. Let's just take a minute to worship the Lord. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled
veiled face, it's the glory that is changing me.
Now I want you to see what I'm saying. See tonight, I said if you're lost and undone without God, come and seek the Lord. Now you mean to tell me that everybody in here is prepared to meet Jesus? Everybody in this tent tonight is prepared to meet Jesus. You see what I mean? About we all are becoming religious. All of us becoming religious. But are we really holy? Have we really been born again of the Spirit of God? Or do we just belong to some church organization? Have we indoctrinated ourselves with self-righteousness? Are we all ready to meet God? That's why I said the Lord won't tarry. Why should He wait? Why should He wait? If there's nobody else to save, why should He wait? If there's nobody else to come to the Lord, why should He wait and take a chance of losing some of the others? Why do that? See, there's something wrong, folks. It's a sad time. It's a sad time. Now, I want to show you the difference. I want to show you the difference that I want you to watch. Everybody that's a Christian tonight, I want you to come down here to the altar. Everyone that's a Christian tonight, I want you to come down here to the altar. I want you to watch now. I want you to see the difference. Something's happening. Something's taking place. Why should the Lord wait any longer? See, why should He wait? Why should you tarry, Lord? Why? The Bible said the fields are white in the harvest. But if there's no more harvest, then why should He wait? You say, but Brother Pike, all of them are not Christians. But if they're not Christians and they're going to hear the Word of God and they're not going to give their heart to God, why should God wait? They've already heard the gospel. Why should God wait? Is there any reason why God should wait if they've heard the gospel and they won't accept the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you see any reason why I should wait? If they're all Christians, then is there any reason why He should wait? See, the coming of the Lord is at hand. The time of the dead to be resurrected is at hand. The resurrection is at hand. You know what it is, folks? I say this humbly, not offensive. But it's the same thing as the rock singers. See, it don't make any difference if you play rock and roll. It don't make any difference if you slit a man's throat. I say this sincerely. If rock singers are on their way to heaven because they say they love Jesus doing the things that they do, then I believe that every prison ought to open its doors and let the people out. Rock singers have killed more souls and destroyed more of humanity than almost anybody that ever went out into this world. You ought to open the doors to every person that's locked in prison. If they slit a man's throat, robbed him of his money at the point of a gun, they've not done near as bad as the man that killed his soul, that destroyed the virtues of our youth. Not near as bad. But I tell you something tonight, God sent me into this world to bear witness of the truth. And the truth is those men are going to hell. Those men are on their way to hell, and I stand as a witness in the judgment against them in that day that God will burn their flesh with fire. The truth is going to live immortally, live on. And God is going to bring every man into judgment that does not turn away from his wicked way of doing. You say, Brother Pike, those men confess their sins, but that's not good enough. Confession is not good enough. The Bible teaches he that confesseth and forsaketh his sins. I read in no place where those men that they're praising ever forsook their sins. They continued on in their same evil way of doing. The same evil way. So God did not accept them. As a matter of fact, that king of rock and roll,
This man right over here, just a few weeks before his death, Brother Bill Cartridge came to me and said, Brother Pikes, that I had a night vision. And he said, in this night vision, he said, I was near Elvis Presley. And said, I had a track. Whoever it was, I believe it was Bill that had the track. And said, I held the track out to Elvis called The Faith. And sure enough, David Paul, my son back here, he just had sent some tracks on The Faith that we had written to Elvis. And he said, I held this track out to Elvis. And said, when I held it out to him, said he reached out to get it. And said, when he reached out to get it, said a black man stepped between the track, between me and between Elvis. And said, Elvis couldn't get to the track. And said, a voice rang out in my ears and said, thus saith the Lord, Elvis Presley will die. Within a few weeks, he was dead. He reached for it. But like Esau, seeking repentance with bitter tears, he found no place of it. They said he called the PTL club numbers of times, trying to find repentance. Rex Humbart said he cried there as he tried to find repentance as he talked to him. But he found no place of repentance. And folks, it's sad to say, but perhaps some of you under my voice tonight, you've not found a place of repentance. Perhaps you've wept. Perhaps you've cried. Perhaps you've went to God many times. But that doesn't mean that you found a place of repentance. You say, Brother Pike, how can I know that I found a place of repentance? There's only one way that you can know that you found a place of repentance: when you forsake your sins. If you confess your sins and then something wells up within your heart to make you turn away from the things of the world. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. And the world and the pride of life and the lust thereof all perishes. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, what are we going to do, folks? Are we going to stand together as a unit, as a Christian unit? Are we going to start right here in the Carolinas this very night and rise up as a group of people and put our feet down and say that regardless to whether it takes our life or whatever it takes, whether it takes our prosperity, whatever it takes, we are going to make a stand for the living God and we are going to establish righteousness in the earth? Now you say, but Brother Pike, if we do that, we outnumber too much. The odds are too great. No, it's not. No, it's not like the man that went over to the prophet. He was worried when he came up to that great prophet. And he said, I'd like to do what's right. He said, but the odds are too great. He said, there's hundreds and thousands of them coming. And that prophet said, open his eyes. And when his eyes come open, he looked over there near that prophet. And there was hundreds and perhaps thousands of prancing fiery chariots and horses prancing waiting for battle. They that be with us are more than they that be against us. Hallelujah. The angels of God encamp round about them that fear him. The angels of the Lord are here tonight. You might not see them. But that is in the days of Joshua, when the battle got too rough and the people couldn't do anything about it. God just put out that great hand and pulled Joshua over out of the way and said, stand back, Joshua. The battle is the Lord's. And the Bible said from heaven them angels began to throw them big hailstones down. And Joshua didn't have to do nothing but pick up the slain. Amen. And God killed every last one of them. Folks, when it gets too rough, God will take care of it. When it got too bad for old Moses, God said, just step aside, Moses, I'll give you some water out of the rock. I'll rain you down some manna from heaven. I'll give you a pair of shoes that you can wear and your feet won't never swell. I'll give you a garment that won't never wax old. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Are we going to take a stand for a God like that? Are we going to stand together and tell our children the truth and establish righteousness once again? You know, the Bible said, as on earth, so in heaven. And the Carolinas is a type of heaven. You know, if we establish it here in this type of heaven, then we'll spread it around the earth. You want to stand for Jesus? Hallelujah. All right, so then we need to stand up and tell the truth so our children won't be all mixed up. I want you to lift your hands up now. I'm going to pray with you, and I'm going to pray for you. The Bible teaches that angels are made ministering spirits to them that are heirs of salvation. And tonight, the angels of God are here, and they'll minister to your body and minister to your spirit. Now, from night to night, we'll be praying for the sick, maybe laying hands on the sick individually and praying for them. But tonight, since I've helped you a little bit long and that it's the first night of the service, I want to pray collectively speaking for you. And I want you to lift your hands up now. And I want to pray for you. If you're around the altar, lift your hands with me. If you're back in the audience, just lift your hands up with me. So many of you back there that's not up here with us tonight, but I want you to lift your hands up now. And I want to pray with you.
And I want to ask God to heal you. And I promise you in the name of Jesus that God will heal you. I believe in healing, folks. I'm not making believe. As I live before the living God, my soul bears witness to the fact that I believe that God will heal you. If you're sick tonight and you believe with me, God will heal you tonight. We're going to be preaching some messages on faith, how to really have your healing. And if you'll lift your hands up now, we're going to pray for you. Hallelujah. Father of heaven, tonight as I pray for this people, dear God of heaven, I lift up my hand to Thee because I know that Thou art a holy God. And oh, Father, I know that You're ready to judge the world in righteousness. And dear God, may I testify to righteousness tonight. May the words that I've spoken, God, falls upon the listening ears of this audience. And oh, God, tonight I ask You to heal these people. Father, stretch out a healing hand tonight. Father, may faith build in these services. Dear God, I'm going to pray that faith will build in these services. And may the people pray with me, Father, that faith will build in these services. And may they be healed tonight, Jesus. Whatever the condition is tonight, I pray that You would heal them. And dear God, not only these that are standing around the altar, but them that are in the audience, God, I pray that You will heal them, oh God. Everyone, God, that's here, everyone tonight, Lord Jesus, that can look in this direction, Father, as it was in the days of Solomon when they looked toward the temple. You said everyone that looked in that direction was healed. As the little woman that touched the hem of Your garment, Father, You healed her, Father. And the virtue of Jesus Christ went into her body and she was made whole. And I pray tonight for that healing. I pray tonight for that virtue. I pray tonight for that strength. I pray that every one of these people tonight will be healed. Father, that tonight every person of the sound of My voice, Father, will be healed tonight. May Your glory come down upon them. May Your power come down upon them. And may the virtue of the Lord lift them up tonight into a great, wonderful will and a great, wonderful way of God. Teach them the ways of holiness. I ask You to do it in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Give the glory to God. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about His love. We'll sing about His love. Sing it with me. We'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing all this wonderful love. Can you sing it again? We'll give all the glory to Jesus.